Professor Shabir Mahdi, who's a professor of vaccinology at the University of the Witwatersrand and one of four medical specialists who co-authored a piece on the Daily Maverick, which appeared yesterday. Stop random COVID-19 testing and sort out the backlog. Prof Mahdi, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
I mean, we don't know exactly, I think, what the backlog is, but anecdotally, it seems very big and going back more than a fortnight in some cases.
Yeah. So, John, in fact, the CEO of the NHLS last week indicated that the backlog was sitting at about 80,000 deaths, and the NHLS has only got a capacity to do it at about 10,000 tests per day. So, at the moment, at the minimum, there's sort of an eight-day lag in terms of when results are getting back on average.
And I suppose the longer you get, the longer it takes to get the result back, the less useful that result is in terms of managing the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's two different sort of groups of people that are being tested. The one is in a community, and the others are those that are requiring hospitalization. Now, at the level of the community, the reality is that the person is most infectious in the 3 days before they become symptomatic, and up to about day 5 to 7 after they've become symptomatic. Beyond that, the person is less infectious, if infectious at all. So getting a result about 5 to 7 days after being tested, when you're presenting as an example on day 2, essentially you're getting a result at a time when you're no longer infectious, and it's going to be of absolutely no meaning in terms of what you should do next. You certainly shouldn't need to go into isolation for another 14 days when you get the result back 1 week later. So it's completely futile to be testing at a community level when the turnaround time is anything more than 24 hours. In the hospital setting, exactly the same principles would apply, that you're aspiring to get the turnaround time of between 12 to 24 hours. And the reason for that is that that result actually influences the management of that individual, as well as it's important in terms of healthcare workers taking necessary precautions to avoid themselves getting infected. So the type of PPE that they would use would be influenced by whether someone tests positive or not. Now, what's happening at the moment is by throwing all of these samples to the laboratory, like I said, the turnaround time is anything between 5 and 14 days, and effectively those individuals and those settings that require the result most urgently are being compromised. So we're compromising the health of the patients that are being hospitalized, we're compromising the management of those patients, we're compromising the health of the healthcare workers in our facilities by being indiscriminate with our testing strategy in the absence of being able to scale up the number of tests we're able to do and have a turnaround time within a 24-hour period.
So any test which is in a national laboratory health service facility somewhere which is older than what should be thrown away?
At a community level, anyone that's been sampled in a community that's more than 48 hours should pretty much be discarded. And in fact, we should stop community testing until we reach a point where we can actually turn around results for samples that are taken in a hospital setting within a 12 to 24-hour period. So we should actually stop community testing immediately because it's basically having little value in terms of impacting on the rate of transmission, in terms of the type of intervention that it lends itself to. You simply can't act on those results. So we should actually stop community testing completely and look at other more innovative strategies to try to get a sense in terms of possible infectious cases. We also need to just realize that the reality in a community is that the majority of people that are infected with the virus are completely asymptomatic. So they wouldn't even be screened because they wouldn't have any respiratory symptoms. Anything between 50 to 80% of people that are infected with this virus are asymptomatic. But those individuals will still go about transmitting the virus. So what we need to do in our community, rather than running around trying to play catch-up with testing, is we need to get a message across to the populace that the only thing that's going to assist us in slowing the rate of transmission in a community is for the populace to adhere to the non-pharmaceutical intervention. The wearing of non-surgical face masks, irrespective of symptoms, maintaining physical distancing, avoiding overcrowded situations, health hygiene, are the only things that within our grasp in terms of controlling the rate of transmission of this virus.
The Western Cape has new protocols for testing in high prevalence areas. This is as of yesterday. So in those high prevalence areas, only people will be tested will be those at risk of severe disease, i.e. 55 years and older with comorbidities. All persons accessing a health facility will be screened, but only those who have symptoms and fall in these categories will be tested. You're already in hospital, have coronavirus symptoms. You're a healthcare worker, coronavirus symptoms. You're over 55 years, have other illnesses, diabetes, hypertension, etc., and have coronavirus symptoms. Only those people will be tested.
Yeah, so for hospital part of it, I'm in agreement. In terms of the community ones, even if you just focus it on people with underlying medical conditions, there's very little value to it. If you want to do that, you need to repeat testing every 3 to 5 days. You can't do a once-off test and believe that you basically sorted out the problem. People are exposed each day of their life, potentially exposed each day of their life. If someone gets tested negative today in a community, it doesn't mean that person won't be positive in 2 to 3 days' time. Like I said, the Western Cape is actually the worst off when it comes to the backlog. And for them to now suggest to continue with any sort of community testing really is a futile exercise. And again, it is compromising the management of patients in hospital. It's putting the risk, it's putting the health of healthcare workers at risk by continuing doing testing at a community level, which is going to have very, very little return in terms of impacting on this particular pandemic and outbreak that's been experienced in the Western Cape itself.
If you abandon the testing, you're also abandoning the tracking and tracing. Because if you can't test, you don't know who to track and to trace.
Yeah, that opportunity has passed us by a long, long time ago. So to be able to do the tracing of contact right now, in terms of the number of cases that are being reported in the Western Cape, as an example, someone that comes that's symptomatic for 2 days, that comes for testing, you need to trace all of the contact of that individual from 3 days before the onset of symptoms up to the time point that person goes into isolation. The average person would have close to 20 contacts per day. So each case that you're identifying, you would need to trace roughly about 120 contacts. Even before the lockdown, when we had few cases, we weren't able to get to more than 20% of the contacts of known cases. So to believe that we're going to achieve what we weren't able to achieve when the number of cases were relatively few, unfortunately, is a naive belief. And again, it's misdirected in terms of where our focus should be. That opportunity, unfortunately, has passed us by some time ago now, and that sort of a strategy to try to slow the rate of transmission of the virus no longer exists in South Africa. We need to look at other options, and there are other options that we need to consider. As an example, the use of apps, which to at least identify the symptomatic individual. Again, to emphasize, 50 to 80% of people that are infected with this virus are asymptomatic. So you won't be finding those individuals by trying to do this the identification of the symptomatic individuals. You'll be missing the majority of individuals that are actually infected who still contribute to transmission. So again, it all comes down to adherence to NPI and promotion of the NPI, getting communities to understand the importance of the NPI, irrespective of whether they're at risk of severe disease or not.
Thank you very, very much indeed to Professor Shabir Mahdi, Professor of Vaccinology at the University of the Witwatersrand. At the University of the Witwatersrand.